You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, First Thing First listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp, co-host of FS1's Undisputed. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now, back to First Things First.
First things first, where's Deshaun Watson going to end up next season?
I know.
Why are the Seahawks many a sleepless night in Seattle over this Russ situation? I bet Brandon knows that too. And what does the footballing goat Tom Brady have left to prove? Good Thursday morning,
listen
everyone.
Listen to your wife,
welcome
Tom.
To First Things First.
She's a smart lady.
Jenna, Nick,
listen to your wife.
Brandon.
What do you have to say?
And Nick, I assume you want him to retire. I bet your advice is you've done enough.
Why don't you just head off into the sunset? To those around him who have his best interests at heart. I want what's
listen
best for Tom Brady.
Nobody.
Giselle wants what's best for Tom Brady.
Listen to your lifetime.
I love it. What's best for Tom? All right, we'll get to Tom Brady in a second, but we got to start with some Jazz Sixers. Hey, if you've been watching us all week, you know there's a great divide between MVP picks on this show. Brandon's been beating that drum for Joel Embiid, and last night, a huge reason why. How about 40 points and 19 rebounds? How about a game-tying three to send it to overtime? How about a win over the team with the best record in basketball? Nick, I got to start with you. Did last night sway you at all? Do you agree with Brandon that Joel Embiid is the best player in basketball?
I do not agree with Brandon. However, last night was spectacular for a number of reasons. It was great for me, for my Eastern Conference winning pick, the Philadelphia 76ers. It was great for the America that the Jazz are becoming less and less necessary to be talked about despite their incessant complaining. It was great for Brandon Marshall and his insane take that Joel Embiid's the best player in the league. So let's go through why it was great. Joel had a signature moment. That three on a broken possession to force overtime against the Jazz, if Joel wins the MVP, will be one of the first highlights that is shown. It's not quite Steph Curry's 38-footer to beat the Thunder in 2016, but it's a hell of a signature moment. Speaking of the MVP, here's another thing that happened last night. Joel Embiid took the lead at the midway point in the MVP race. LeBron didn't play.
Wow,
the Lakers have been losing. The Sixers beat the Jazz. Yeah, Joel Embiid took the lead in the MVP race. That's also good for Brandon. Now, the third thing that happened last night, not so good for Brandon, which is Brandon and Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving and Brooklyn fans watched that game and they were like, oh boy.
This has nothing to do with the Nets.
You're gonna slow this guy down. No, I'm just painting the picture.
This has nothing to do with the Nets.
All of that happened, Brandon. I'm just painting the picture. But to answer the question,
don't paint the picture.
Did Joel Embiid prove he's the best player on the planet? The answer is no, because that is not something one can prove in February. But he did take the lead in the MVP race, and he is right now having the best season of anyone in basketball for, you know, my beloved Philadelphia 76ers, Brandon Marshall.
Wow. So, well, good thing it's March now, Nick, so he can prove he's the best player on the planet in March. 3 weeks ago,
You're right.
So 3 weeks ago, I stood on the show and said, you know what? This dude is not only proving that he is the clear-cut MVP, he's also proving that he's the most dominant player on the planet. And that hasn't stopped. He's just continuing to pack on to that statement. This dude is playing lights out. He's playing phenomenal. What made LeBron James the best player on the planet? Why did we fall in love with LeBron James going back to when he was in high school? Because this dude can do it all, and he dominated night in and night out. He played defense. He played offense. He can, well, starting to develop a better shot. He can get to the basket. He can get buckets in the paint. That's why we love LeBron James. Buckets. So, Kevin, when we think about Joel Embiid, there's nobody doing it better. This dude is 7 feet. He could potentially be the defensive player of the year. He could have been a defensive player of the year last year. He should have been a defensive player of the year last year. And now on the offensive end, he's shooting threes. Look at the three he hit last night. Look what he did last night. If that didn't say it all to you, I don't know what else I can say. I'm not going to sit up here and argue and go back and forth with Nick. All you got to do is watch the film. Look at this shot. Come on, man. This is Dirk Nowitzki. This is Kobe Bryant. And he's 7 feet tall doing this. And get in the paint, he can do whatever. So, Kevin, he is the best player on the planet.
I'm starting to agree with you, Brandon, and I'm very happy for you. There's only one issue. Our friend Donovan Mitchell's like, you know what? In my mind, the Sixers didn't even win. We won. The Jazz won. Donovan got thrown out of the game for two techs. Embiid was lobbying for a tech at one point, even though they're buddies, Adidas fam. He leaves the game. There's this old Gatorade cooler there, empty. I don't know if Donovan knew it or not, but it's a savvy move. Could have hurt his hand. He's like, where's the Gatorade cooler? I'm frustrated. Hold on. Stand by. Should I throw a chair? No. My friend's right there. This is not going to work. Hey, good job. Good job. I'm out of here. Wait. Well, there's a bangle. Bam. I'm out of there. Here he is after the game.
Apologize to the old, poor old guy. Right.
This is it's a consistent thing, and you know the question is, can we do it? Can we sustain it? Are we for real number one? Like, yeah, the hell we are. And it's getting ridiculous, KK. That this is what's happening. You know what I mean? We have a whole second half of the season to go and get ready for, but like I'm sick of it. To be honest with you, we all are. You know, and I think this is something that just it eats me. It eats at me, man. And it's. I don't, y'all know what it is. We all know what it is, but it's really getting out of hand. It's really, really, really getting out of hand. And the league needs to do something about this.
Tough week for the refs. And guess what? We asked our loyal Sixers researcher, Dusty, say, hey, Dust, does Donovan have a point? He says he does. Old Joel Embiid. And the Sixers getting the most fouls in clutch time. Donovan getting the fewest. Yeah. So, Nick, look, I am not one to blame the refs for anything, but I think this is a savvy move from Donovan and Gobert after the game, because now this is on the refs' radar, and I expect the Jazz to start getting more calls.
They're not going to get calls.
Just because you're anti-Jazz. Yes, they are.
Once you complain publicly,
you will get more calls.
They don't get calls because of the style that they play. That beautiful basketball, the skip passes, Ingles to Bogdanovich to Niang. Guess what? You're not going to get calls because you're not banging it down low. You know why they don't get calls in clutch time? Because their big man is Rudy Gobert, who can't score. No, it's not. And I saw Rudy Gobert after the game. He's like, oh, we need more respect. We're a small market. Shut up. Go ahead, Brandon. Then I want to get back to Embiid. But go ahead, Brandon.
Oh, no, that's what I wanted, Nick. I just wanted to get back to Joel Embiid. Jenna asked us about Joel Embiid. You go off and you start talking about the Nets. Wild start talking about Donovan Mitchell. Can we get back to the question, please?
Yes.
Please, Nick.
Yes, we can. And I have a question for you, Brandon.
He admitted it.
Here's my question for you. Has Giannis Antetokounmpo ever been the best player on the planet?
No.
Okay, then neither has Embiid. That's the rules. Sorry. Why hasn't Giannis? Giannis's regular season last year, because last year Giannis's regular season and the year before far outstrip what Embiid is doing.
but he was never the best player on the planet because you have to prove it to us in the postseason. That's what I meant when I said it was February. It's February, March. Who gives a damn what month it is? I know it's not the postseason. And there aren't a lot of hard and fast rules in the NBA handbook. But there is this one. I'm going to read it to you verbatim. It's section 2.B.3. It is the following. One is not eligible to be best player on the planet until one plays at least one conference finals game. Joel Embiid hasn't ever seen round three, much less an NBA final.
Yeah, but that's hard for me.
I didn't make the rules.
It's
but
hard
those are the
for
rules.
Me to follow those rules when I see a seven-footer. When I go out to the Rucker, or if I go out to Larmer Avenue Park in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I see a seven-footer, and I'm like, he's probably sloppy. He's probably a liability on the but then I see him on the basket by himself, and he's moving like he's James Harden. He's shooting the ball like he's Steph Curry. I'm like, oh, maybe I should take that guy. And then you see LeBron James over there, like, oh, he's pretty cool. They're doing similar things, but the dude is 7 feet. That's who I'm going
That's
with.
Right.
So all those other things you can throw out the window. Joel Embiid is doing things that no one has ever done before. You look at, you know, the players in the NBA right now. Let's take this stat. 40 and 10. The players who hit score 40 buckets, 40 points, and 10 rebounds. Joel Embiid did that five times. The rest of the NBA only did that four times. So it's not even close when you compare Joel Embiid to LeBron James, but we're talking about James Harden. Right, we're talking about KD.
He's having the best year.
He is playing lights out.
He's the MVP. He's having the best year. And the only thing... There are two saving graces for me in this. One is I love Morey and I root for the Sixers, so I'm happy about it, and I'm happy for Brandon. The other saving grace is this, Jenna. I'm time machining myself. I'm going forward, and I am seeing it's game six of the Eastern Conference semifinals. It's Sixers
Nets. I see what you're
and
doing.
And Brandon Marshall's like,
I see
oh,
what
no.
You're doing.
We can't stop the best player on the planet. My
Nets,
beloved
Jenna,
Nets
go.
Are just
go,
getting
Jenna,
annihilated.
A lot of time to
I
talk
it.
About it.
I see it
Meanwhile,
coming.
Sixers, big win last night. They're at the top of the East heading into the break. Back to football. The Seahawks, they're unhappy with Russell Wilson. Why, oh, why? We'll tell you next. First things first.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Hey, First Things First listeners. I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagine for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, just a click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. Hey, let's head to Seattle now.
Hasn't been a great offseason so far for the Seahawks. Russ is fired up. He wants more protection. He wants a bigger say in decisions. He wants to be heard. I get it. Who doesn't? For whatever reason, we haven't heard from Seattle in all this, except that they're reportedly not happy with how Russ is handling things. Brandon, do the Seahawks have a right to be upset with Russell Wilson?
No. Why would they get upset? It's business. A player signs a contract, 4 for $40 million, 5 for this, and then all of a sudden they get hurt. A player have a bad game, have a bad couple games, and all of a sudden the team says, hey, can we sit at the table? Can we rethink this? We want you to take a pay cut. Or if you don't take this pay cut, we're going to cut you. So, no, they can't get mad, right? Because players don't get mad when we sign a contract and you ask us to, you know, take a pay cut when we still have 2-3 years left. So, Nick, no, absolutely, you know, the Seattle Seahawks can't get mad. But then when you look at this, man, I just don't understand how they got to this point, Nick. Let's go back to 2011. Matt Flynn. Aaron Rodgers goes down. Aaron Rodgers get hurt. Matt Flynn comes in. Matt Flynn plays great. What happened in 2012? He's the most sought-after free agent at the quarterback position. Seattle Seahawks. They signed Matt Flynn to a 3-year, $26 million deal. Russell Wilson. They draft him in the 3rd round. Matt Flynn's their guy. Pete Carroll goes out to the practice field. He sees this dude, number 3, running around, said, oh, my goodness, could he be the guy? Did we just waste $26 million? He doubled down on what he thought, his gut, and went with Russell Wilson. But what happened that year? There was a 2-game stretch where Russell Wilson threw 5 interceptions. Pete Carroll heard the rumblings in the locker room, all the guys getting on the plane. Oh, my goodness, we need a veteran presence. We need that Matt Flynn in there. This is what you brought him here for. What did Pete Carroll do? He shut off the noise. He said, no, I'm doubling down. This is my guy. This is who I'm going with. Russell Wilson ends up leading them to 11-5 record, leading them to a win in the wild card game. And then the next game, going in the divisional round, he lost to Atlanta Falcons. Okay, great job. Great start for Russell Wilson, these Seattle Seahawks. The following year, 2013, Russell Wilson leads you to your first Super Bowl. You went with your gut. You doubled down on this guy, even though he went through a bad stretch. Why aren't you doing that now when this dude is stepping into his prime where the game is slowing down? I just don't understand, Nick, how we got to this point when you saw something great in this kid when nobody else saw it, when everybody else passed him 2 times. So I just don't understand what's going on in Seattle.
So a couple of things to build off what Brandon said. The first point about the player's contract not being honored. Ask Kyle Van Noy how good a contract is. You go to Miami, you sign a big guaranteed money deal, you play 1 year, see you later, buddy. You don't won't take a pay cut, we'll cut you. So that's why I always, nearly always support the players when they finally have some leverage and they want to turn it on their head. One of the other things Brandon didn't mention, that first year when they lost to Atlanta, go to Pro Football References, I know so many of you like to, and look at the second half box score of Russell Wilson's playoff game in Atlanta, his rookie season. When the defense hadn't played well in the first half, I think it was 20-3 at halftime. It might have been 21-3. Whatever it was, they unleashed Russ in the second half after not wanting to do that all year. He led them all the way back, I think 28 second half points, to a lead, and then they lost on a last second Matt Bryant field goal. He's always had this special ability, and even from his rookie season and now, Pete Carroll has been hesitant to let him unleash that ability unless it's break glass in case of emergency, even though he showed you that from day one. So do the Seahawks have a right to be upset? No. Do they have a right to be annoyed? Sure. Should they keep it to themselves? You're damn straight. Because here's the thing, Wilds, the Seahawks have 2 eras, pre-Russ and Russ. The pre-Russ era, you had a little fun with Sean Alexander. There was something called a Chuck Knox era, according to Wikipedia, and it was mediocrity. 36 seasons, 8 playoff wins, 1 Super Bowl appearance. In a quarter of that time, 9 seasons, you have more playoff wins, you have double the Super Bowl appearances, and you have the only championship in the history of your franchise. So guess what? This is like when our guy Ketta used to work, our producer Ketta used to, I think you did too, Wilds. You guys worked on a very successful television show that was based around one solitary person. And I hear that person might have been hard to work with at times. I'm sure you got annoyed at times. You kept it to your damn self because he was the whole operation. That's what the Seahawks need to be doing. Keep it to themselves and make him happy. Because he is the entire operation, Wilds. I don't know why this is complicated or confusing for them.
But no, I disagree with that, Nick. And if we can, I don't know, Titanic, if you can throw up that graphic again. I know you're saying that's the Russ era. I think a lot of people would consider that the Legion of Boom era, right? Like, I don't think, like, I know this, I just don't know if people consider that the Russ era. They had the number one defense, and I think people will look back at that a little bit like, is that crazy, Brandon? I consider that the Legion of Boom era, and I know Russ is there, but I view that as like an all-time great defense. A defense with a nickname is always near and dear to my heart.
Right, right.
I don't consider that the Russ era first and foremost. I consider that the Legion of Boom era. You think I'm wrong in that?
No, I mean, no. Great point. It is the Legion of Boom era. But, you know, I go back to 2012. I was playing for the Chicago Bears. That was my first year in Chicago. Actually, my first year in Chicago. That was Russell's rookie year. We go out there in pregame. I meet Richard Sherman at the 50-yard line. Me and Richard Sherman is about to fight before the game, just getting after it. The dude went and go to his side of the field. And I was like, bro, go on your side of the field. This is where the Bears warm up. Who had to separate us? Pete Carroll came over and said, come on, Brandon. Come on, Richard. Handle that in between the lines. We broke it up. Anyways, we get into that game. This is the year where our defense was scoring two or three touchdowns a game. It was phenomenal seeing what Brian Urlacher was doing and Charles Peanut Tillman and Julius Peppers and Izzy. And I can go on and on how Tim Jennings, what they were doing on that side.
Yep,
but what exactly ended up happening was Russell Wilson came out there and lit it up. And I said, man, we just lost to a rookie. So, yes, that defense was phenomenal. That defense was good. I actually went for like 165 yards that game, but we're not going to talk about that. But Russell Wilson was the reason why they won that game.
That's right. And Brandon, by the way, that defense was awesome. And Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman and Brandon Browner and Bobby Wagner, we know who they are. They had Cliff Averill at the time. That's great. Your Chicago Bears had a great defense and couldn't do nothing.
Right.
They didn't have the quarterback. Remember the Jags of 2017? Jalen Ramsey and Calais Campbell and all those guys. That, guess what? They got the AFC title game. But that Jags team, so I agree, Wilds, that obviously, especially when Russ was on his rookie contract, they had a great team around him. And we're not even mentioning Marshawn Lynch. But there's a lot of teams that have had great defenses, Jenna, and a really good running back, and their quarterback held them back. Brandon was on a number of those teams where you had everything but the quarterback, and because of that, you have a ceiling. So that's why I would call that the Russell Wilson era, Jenna.
I love Brandon Marshall story time. Always ends with, and here's what I did, just on a side. Time for Knicks NBA medals. We love it. The Beard played well in his return to Houston. 29 points, a couple of boos, but 29 points as part of a triple-double in a winning effort. Just missed a medal, though. Nick, who you got today?
Well, we're going to start TJ McConnell. I don't know who was watching, but how about a triple-double with steals? You don't see that. Now, it came against the Cavs, but still, he led them to a win. He didn't miss a single shot, and he had 10 steals. TJ McConnell with his first, and I'm going to go ahead and declare
TJ.
Assuredly only medal of his life, TJ McConnell. Silver medal. Colin Coward compared me to Zach LaVine yesterday. Thank you, Colin. He's an all-star. He went 36-8 in a win over the Pelicans. He was insulting me when he did it, but I'll take it as a nice thing. But some people also say Zach LaVine and I look alike. Zach LaVine, 36-8 in a win over the Pelicans. Pelicans got to figure out how to use Zion all four quarters. Bonus take. Gold medalist. Brandon Marshall won't give this man his respect. I will. Joel Embiid. Nice. 40 points. Step back. Step back three, right in Boyan's eyes on a broken possession. Then they win in overtime. The Stifle Tower. Oh, give me a foul call. Oh, nobody likes the Jazz. Oh, we're so, slopping around. Try to block a shot, Gobert, instead of having Embiid go for 40. Brandon, the hell are you looking at? I'm giving your guy love. What's going on?
Selfies.
Oh, I was just going over my notes. Embiid, 64% true shooting, is pacing to be the best of any player to average 30 and 10 in NBA history. Oh, is he not really the best good. Player on the planet? Wow.
He's not, but he did get a gold medal goodness. Last
night. He certainly he was last night. Wilds, who just missed the cut?
Oh, just missed the cut. You know, Garnett made this famous. Get out of here, Steph. It didn't count, but it should. No free ones. I don't care if it's after the whistle or not. Congratulations, Steph Curry. Missed the cut. You don't give out medals outside of gameplay, but a fantastic one. And he celebrates.
That's awesome.
That's really good.
All right. Let's get back to football. Which team will Deshaun Watson end up playing for next season? Guys, make their picks. It's next. First things first.
Not Houston. Not Houston, Jenna. Mm-mm.
Hey, First Things First listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to First Things First.
We got a new segment. We're calling this Make the Call. So here's how it's going to go. I'll say words and then you say words. We start with Russell Wilson. No secret, he's frustrated with the Seahawks. I mean, the guy's listed teams he'd be willing to accept a trade to. He's obviously frustrated. So, Brandon, make the call. Next season, Russell Wilson will be on the...
Ooh, Seattle Seahawks. Look, I'm tired of this. Come on, guys. Let's get it done. I was with you guys for damn near 10 months, and I saw the chemistry. I saw the magic. Pete, this is how we're going to do it. You take care of the defense, give Russ the offense, and you guys win together or you lose together. Let's not break this thing up. You doubled down on this kid in 2012 after you gave Matt Flynn a 3-year, $26 million deal. That was a bold move. He only had a couple of games in Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers went down and he played phenomenal. So for you to do that said a lot about your character and what you believe. Now it's time for you to do that again. My dad used to tell me when I first got with Mishi, he used to say, son, go get your lady. Pete Carroll, go get your quarterback.
All right, that's great advice by your father. I'm glad you listened to him. I love that. The answer, of course, is Seattle. And Saints fans, folks, I understand there is this mystical, farcical Narnia world where Russell Wilson's on the Saints. Did you see what the Saints did last night? They restructured their kicker's contract, Will Lutz, to free up $1.7 million. That is the football equivalent of paying for your McDonald's with the change you found underneath the cushions in the car. They're out of money. They can't trade for us. They're going to get this figured out. Seattle, don't be stupid. Work it out. Or trade him to Dallas, because that would be fun. But I say Seattle.
not trading to Dallas. He will be on Seattle this year. But here's the problem, Jenna. You ever had a fight with somebody when you've sort of like set a trap and you just wait for them to walk in it? That's what Russell Wilson has 100%. Done. And Pete Carroll, unfortunately, is going to walk right into the trap. And the media after the game is like, ooh. Oh, hey, Russ, J.J. Watt sacked you 3 times. And Russ going like, oh, Aaron Donald sacked you 5 times. Nick Bosa sacked you 6 times. And Russ like, well, I don't know. I did talk about wanting more protection in the offseason. I don't know. I tried to say it, and it's going to end up imploding. So, Brandon, I know you want to make this bond strong. I don't think it's going to get worse and worse and worse as Russ faces defense this year.
All right, let's keep the quarterback theme going. Another QB he wants out, Deshaun Watson, still waiting on the Texans to do something. They're not even taking calls at this point, we hear. So, Brandon, make the call. Next season, Deshaun Watson will be on the...
Blue 32! Blue 32! Omaha!
No.
Omaha!
Oh, God, no.
Omaha! Let's go! Joe Omaha. Namath, I see you! B. Marshall, Darrell Reeves, I see you! Omaha! Omaha! Go! That's where we're going, J-E-T-S.
He's all in.
No.
Yeah. All in.
All right. He's not all going in. To the Jets.
Nick.
The answer, this is going to be the second take of the day I've stolen from Kevin Wilds by virtue of being able to go before him. The Dolphins. The Dolphins. Wilds has been saying this for a while. I've thought long and hard about it, much like Wilds' Dame Time take. It's the correct take, and I'm going to co-opt it as my own. It's the Dolphins, Wilds.
Thank you. I just give up the number three pick. Make it. I also think Tua would be great on the Texans. He needs a fresh start. I know we were like, oh, Tua should get Marino's number. We should unretire it. And then 6 months later, like, you know what?
Yeah.
Why don't you pull him out of the game, put Fitzmagic in? Like, well, it was just a one-time thing. So next time we're going to win the game in the fourth quarter. Pull him out again. You know what? Pull him out of the whole franchise. Let him get a fresh start in Texas. Let him just fix it. Let him move forward with Deshaun. Deshaun's your franchise guy.
There it is.
Give him Marino's number.
There it is. Speaking of things Wilds likes, let's talk about the Patriots. Most of us think this New England team needs a new quarterback, but do they? Because Bill Belichick reportedly a big fan of the work that Cam Newton did in year one under center. Brandon, make the call. Next season, the Patriots quarterback will be
Cameron Newton. Look, Wilds, I heard you. You wanted me to ask Cam the tough question on the podcast. You, hey, what happened to your arm? Why'd you throw that ball in the dirt? I'm gonna be honest with you. After sitting down with this guy, he convinced me that there was other things that involved, like no offseason, no preseason, COVID, and all of that. So I think that Cam Newton is the guy to get this team back on track. Come on, Josh McDaniels, make the call.
I'd love to see it. I don't think we're going to see it. And if we do, I don't know if it'll just be him essentially being anointed the starting quarterback. I think Marcus Mariota is going to be on this football team, Wilds. It makes too much sense for all parties involved. The Raiders have to move off of him. The Patriots have the mid-round pick to trade. I think Marcus Mariota is the Patriots quarterback next year, and they see if they can rekindle some of the promise he showed in year two, which, folks, look it up. Year two, Marcus Mariota, very good. Now, it's not great that this is now year seven, and I'm talking about year two, but year two, Mariota was very good.
Okay, so I think it's going to be Jimmy G. There's too much smoke around the 49ers in the quarterback position. And to what Brandon says, Cam was awesome on the podcast, and he did talk about how he needed time to learn the playbook, and COVID hit, and he kind of went back a step. And Jimmy G wouldn't have that. Jimmy G's like, oh, yeah, I've got my old playbook. Let me dust it off. But, Brandon, one final thing, Jenna, real quick. I know that the podcast is like let's sit down and talk. And I said, Brandon, well, I could come in and ask the hard questions. And you're like, no, Wilds, we don't want to pay for the airfare, et cetera, et cetera. Here's what you do. You're like, hey, so I understand that you look great, you're a vegan, don't listen to Ocho about eating McDonald's, and you took time, you needed more time for the playbook. And what you're saying is, your arm is fine, right? And I'm like, well, I could use a little bit of time. So you don't really have to throw him under the bus like I would come in and be like, what's up with this play? Look at this play on the iPad. But just a little bit, if you want to have him on again and you don't want to fly me out, just a free advice for the I Am Athlete podcast.
This is an interview that took place like 2 weeks ago. Wilds has now given Brandon 37 different ways he could have asked the question that he did not ask. This is conversation is not going away anytime soon. I can guarantee you that. Let's move on to Cleveland. Talking OBJ now. Head coach Kevin Stefanski said Odell's rehab from that ACL surgery is going great. It's going great. He's still under contract for three more seasons in Cleveland. But Brandon, you make the call. Next season, Odell Beckham Jr. will be on the...
So what did you say, Jenna? You said coach Kevin Stefanski said his rehab is going great. Where is he rehabbing right now? Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah, he's going to be on the Cardinals. I know yesterday I talked about the Green Bay Packers, but Nick, I'm looking at this and I'm like, J.J. Watt just goes there. He's out there in Arizona falling in love with the weather that J.J. Watt's talking about. You got Kyler. You got Big Dog D-Hop on the other side. Why wouldn't you get this done? So I am going to double down on the Arizona Cardinals. It makes sense.
Hold on, folks. Let me let that sink in for a moment. I had not even considered it.
They've got Kyler on a rookie contract. Kingsbury's seat is a little hotter than he'd like to admit. They're going to have to go offense, offense, offense. That's a great take. It's a great take. He would be a perfect compliment to D-Hop. It's a great take. I am going to stick with the Packers because I thought it was the Packers or the Chiefs, but I think the Chiefs are going to have to spin their draft capital on the offensive line.
Time out. Let me really embrace. That's like your big brother telling you good job. Your big brother always like punch on you, beat you up a little bit.
It's a great take.
Is that your second time ever telling me good job on the show?
No, you've had a lot of great takes. No, that's not fair. You've had a lot of great takes.
Okay.
But if I'm going to be honest, we can have, Wild just giving you I am athlete coaching on the show. We can have more honesty moments on the show. It's not very often someone says something on the show that I had never even considered. I had never even considered that, and it was like a mind-blowing moment. I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. Whether it is the Cardinals, the Packers, or whomever Wild says, here's my real prediction, Kevin. He has the Randy Moss arc. Unbelievable early, a mediocre second stop, and lights the world on fire in his third stop. Which is what Randy did. Yeah. Minnesota, Oakland, New England. So whatever the next stop is for Odell Wilds, I think it's going to go great.
That was my take, buddy. That was my take from 3 weeks ago on why I wanted Odell to the Patriots. Remember? I said it's a Randy Moss arc.
That's right.
That he was great with the first team, and he went to the second team and underachieved, and then came to the Patriots. And
I wouldn't hear that.
That's the third consecutive take.
Literally stolen everything Wilds has said
in the Google Doc. So don't be shocked. Your lack of prep, you're stealing my take. His take is in the Google Doc. It says Cardinals right there. So I said Browns. I think he stays with the Browns. I know give Baker more weapons. I know Jarvis is playing great, but just keep him on the Browns. Let Baker get even better.
Jenna, the Blazers-Warriors game was on till 1 a.m. Eastern last night. I'm underslept, underprepped. I just have to steal takes today. I was up all night watching basketball. I'm just stealing takes today. I didn't even know I stole that one. I'm just stealing takes.
We're going to talk a little Tom Brady after this. Could Tom Brady possibly have anything left to prove on the football field? We'll find out next. The Google Doc, Nick. The rundown. Saturday on Fox, a crucial Big East doubleheader tipping off at 2:30 Eastern. Number 10, Villanova facing Providence, followed by number 14, Creighton taking on Butler. It's the league's top two contenders looking to gain some steam heading into that Big East tournament Saturday on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Back here, first things first, time now for stories to start your morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. We're talking Tom Brady. Tom Brady, winner of every award there is. Record, stats, accolades, 7 Lombardi trophies. The guy's done everything. So when Giselle asked Tom after this year's Super Bowl win, what more do you have to prove, love of my life? I added that last part. It got us thinking, Brandon, is Giselle right that Brady has nothing left to prove after winning his 7th Super Bowl?
Well, look, I think Tom Brady loves greatness more than he loves football. This dude is on a mission to do things that no other player has ever done before. He's like writing a new rule book to how we approach the athlete and how the athlete approach sports. Do you really think Tom Brady likes avocado ice cream? You know, like the, really? Come on. Haagen-Dazs, the vanilla flavor is so much better. Do you think Tom Brady really likes getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning to get in a hot tub, then go work out? Well, Jenna, you may be the only one on the planet that really like that, because that's pretty much your schedule.
Literally love
it. But there's only a handful of people in the world that just wakes up every day and do the same thing over and over and over again from a physical standpoint. Do you think Tom Brady really likes getting hit by JPP or Shaq Barrett? Do you think Tom Brady likes, at 8 p.m. tonight, I'm gonna watch these grown men in tights and watch film and try to figure out what they're doing against cover, against Tripp's right in the third quarter when we're going into the fringe when this family is watching Netflix and eating popcorn? No, this dude loves greatness. There's certain players that just love the chase for what's next, and that's Tom Brady. So Wiles, I think, you know, there was an interesting moment in their relationship about 5-6 years ago. Remember when Tom Brady said, I got to go spend time with my family. And he said, I got to figure some things out. And he stayed away from the Patriots facility. I think they had a moment where Tom had to really figure out how he wanted to live the rest of his life. And he had to fully commit. You hear what he said after the Super Bowl. He said, I got to commit 100% to the routine. And I think in that moment, they sat down and Tom said, this is just who I am. I just love competing. I love the chase. And so, you know, Gisette is probably right, but Tom Brady is just built differently. Tom Brady is chasing greatness. And what that greatness is in his mind, I don't think anybody knows.
Yeah, so I know we give Tom Brady a lot of credit and the TB12 method a lot of credit for him maintaining his physical health, Nick. But his motivation has also never wavered, and we've seen it evolve through the years. We know that last year he named his production company 199 Production because of he was the 199th pick, and that still gets him mad. We saw in the Patriots when they were sort of on the sidelines, Hall of Famer Julian Edelman will come over to him and yell at him, you're too old to fire him up. We know he went to Tampa, and you know, there was he didn't necessarily put it on Front Street, but we knew that him winning without Belichick was a source of motivation. Recently, he tweeted out this video with a bunch of headlines where he proved people wrong. So, Nick, for me, and I know that Serena's chasing a Grand Slam title to get to 24. LeBron, and some people say rings don't matter. They do. LeBron is chasing 6 rings. I don't know what Brady is chasing, and I don't know if people stop doubting him, what he's going to use. Well, he's going to still use 199? Is he going to still use Belichick? Is he going to still use age? Or is he going to try to find something new that perhaps you could provide on this show?
No, so I actually think I have the answer, but real quick, and I hate to do this to you near the end of the show, but just a factual clarification. Nobody says rings doesn't matter, and LeBron's obviously chasing 11 rings because that's the ring count of Russell, right? It's 11, not 6. But that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about Tom Brady. On Brady, here's the thing. I don't think he is motivated by me or Shannon or any of the folks who have doubted him. I do think, though, he has been blessed in a way by having real, actual, not only motivation, but legitimate doubt throughout multiple phases of his career. So let me just take you on. I was thinking of this while Wilds was talking, so just follow me down this path. The 199th pick is the first thing, right? But then he immediately wins a Super Bowl and shortly thereafter wins a couple more. But at that point in time, it was, okay, yeah, he has the rings, but obviously Peyton Manning's the better player. He has the defense. He has the coaching. So it's like, yeah. Oh, okay, now I have to prove that. And then it's like, oh, I proved it. We went 16-0. I set every passing record. But then he lost that Super Bowl. Then he didn't get back to a Super Bowl for a few more years. Then he's playing that same team. Chance for vindication, and you lose again. But then he does get back to a Super Bowl, and they win, and he ties Montana with the 4 rings. And then what happens? Hey, you're a cheater. Deflategate. Remember that? You're cheating. That's what. And your coach said, talk to my quarterback. Now he's like, oh, okay, you say I'm a cheater? How about you suspend me those 4 games? Then I have the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history to silence all the doubters. That was for ring 5, and that was the first time we heard Gisele say, I wanted him to walk away. And then it's like, okay, now he has no motivation left. He got ring 6, who cares? Oh, wait. Here's the greatest motivation of them all. Your coach said, I don't want you anymore. I don't believe in you. I don't trust you. So it's not just that Nick Wright's called him noodle arm. Who cares what I say? It's that there have been real seismic events that he has had to, in his mind, overcome and prove people wrong. And Brandon, I do wonder what is left now. He's proven Belichick wrong.
Yep.
He's proven all the talking heads wrong. He's won in Tampa.
Yep.
He's almost doubling up Montana's ring count. To me, the only thing left is he said, I want to play till I'm 45. Is his own TB12,
well,
I'm going to play till I'm 45. It's his, that's all.
I agree with you, but I think it's another thing too. He wants the crown. He doesn't want the crown of being the greatest football player. He wants the crown of being the greatest athlete ever to grace this earth. And the second thing is what you said is business. There's 320 million Americans, 320 million Americans, and 100 million are avid football fans. Get that through your head. And every day you walk out on that field, you know they are watching. So what brand are you building, Jenna? That's what all this is about. He has a whole team saying this is Tom Brady and this is how we're going to deliver his supplement business, TB12, his books, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Maybe he just likes merch and you get a lot of free merch if you're an NFL player. I don't know. Let's play a little drawing and blank. NBA All-Star Draft tonight, 8 o'clock, KD, LeBron, your captains. The King picks first, Brandon, with the number one overall pick in tonight's All-Star Draft. LeBron James selects blank.
Nick, the number two player in the world, should pick the number one player in the world, Joel Embiid.
Hey. You know what I would like to see, Nick? Kyrie. So if it comes down to a final shot, LeBron could have someone to pass it to. That's not very nice.
There you go.
Yes.
You know what?
Yes.
The answer's Luka. And that was such an insulting final answer, I'm leaving. The answer's Luka.
Bye, guys. See you tomorrow. Undisputed starts right now. Don't go anywhere.